Blog Talk Radio.
People together and storm Washington, D.C., I think. I don't know that that's the answer. I don't think that would fix anything. No. I really don't. I don't know that anything that we can do outside of what the Bible tells us to do is going to do any good at all. No. So let's look at the Word of God this morning. We're going to read that first chapter again, and then I'm going to go back through it. We're going to recap what we looked at last week. We only got 18 verses there, but we'll recap what we've looked at already. We'll go ahead and read there, beginning verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they that are which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this gathering, Lord, of people this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, when the saints of God gather around the Word of God and we preach. Lord, and I pray this morning, the Holy Ghost of God, fill me with power. Lord God, forgive me and cleanse me of my sin. Lord, I pray that you'd make me a clean vessel. Lord, fit for your honor, fit to glorify Jesus, fit to lift up the Word of God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord, for I know there's nothing in me that's any good. Fill me with the power of God, Lord, that you might come forth from me this morning and preach the Word of God in power. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our understanding. Lord, wake us up from our slumber. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you'd give us your power, Lord, your peace, that we might have peace in this time of darkness, Lord, that we might have the light of the Word of God, and that it might light our way, Lord, to show us where to step and show us how to keep walking, Lord, and not to be distracted. Oh, God, I pray this morning that you'd move in a real and mighty, tangible way, Father, that when we leave out of here this morning, we know we've met with thee. We know we've heard from heaven. Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning. Lord, my old body's weary. My mind's weary. Lord God, I know that you're able to do all things. And Lord, I know that that doesn't hinder you one bit. So Lord, I put it all on your altar. And I ask for your power. I ask, Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord, that we might be edified. That we might learn this morning and grow by the Word of God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you, Lord, for the saints of God. Thank you, Lord, for those who listen on the internet this morning to us, Lord, all over the world. We give you praise, Lord. We're able to reach out all around this globe, Lord, to people who need to hear from you. Father, we're thankful. We just praise you and give you glory this morning. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, the title of the message is How Not to Collapse when everything else collapses around you. And I don't know if any of y'all, I didn't watch no Republican debate. I could care less. I don't even think I'm going to vote anymore. I'm through with it. It ain't doing any good anyway. But, you know, I heard it was a sideshow, pretty much. You know, our political systems have collapsed around us completely. Our judicial systems, everything, our legislators, everything's collapsed around us as far as what used to be called order. The standards of society have collapsed around us. I think they've released about 6 or 7 different videos now of people from Planned Parenthood talking about selling parts of babies, like they were down at William Brothers trying to get an alternator or something. I mean, there's no shame in what they do. They're butcher shops. And if you haven't watched these videos, if you have a stomach, I recommend you do. And the reason I recommend you do is because it will anger you at the devil and what he's doing in our world. It'll anger you at the wickedness that goes on around you. And it will spur you to do something for Christ's sake, hopefully. These things go on all around us, and people just, we've turned a blind eye long enough. It's not that we're going to charge Planned Parenthood and shut them down. No, we need to hit our knees. We need to pray to God that something be done. Because I'm telling you, again, God's only going to take so much of this, and God has to judge. God has to judge. If he's loyal to his word, he has to judge. So in the midst of impending doom, and it is impending doom, in America, and I hate to stand up here and be the harbinger of doom, but truth of it is, I mean, you look, the Sodomites, they take the symbol that God gave and said, "I'll never destroy the world again," and they parade it around and rub it in his face. I mean, how else can you look at this situation? Well, again, when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, Timothy's living in the midst of a society that is full of paganism. It's full of worship of sensual things. It's worship of creatures, worship of everything, a worship of Caesar, which is not much different from the way that Obama portrays himself. He thinks he's a Caesar now or something. He wants us to betray our religious convictions because he's passed some laws that are not legal, according to God. But regardless, we need to go to God. We need to find out what God says in all this mess. And again, I'm just going to touch on a few things that we looked at last week as we started in this. Again, we'll go back through it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of these in my prayers night and day. Again, we talk about this is a book of remembrance. This is what he's telling Timothy. Timothy's down, he's across the Mediterranean Sea. Timothy's no longer has Paul to instruct him and mentor him. He's on his own now. He's there in Paul's stead, trying to labor there with the church at Ephesus, trying to fight against the Judaizers who've come in and tried to undo all the work that Paul has done there. They're trying there to tell those churches there, hey, listen, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. If you're gonna follow after God, you're gonna have to keep this feast, and you're gonna have to abstain from this, and you're gonna have to do it this way. And they tried to come in and corrupt everything Paul had taught. So you got to understand, Timothy is struggling, and Timothy also, according to the scriptures, he has a weak stomach. He has problems, health problems. He's a timid type person. He's not an outgoing type, and so he has some fears. He has some issues. He's not unlike anybody else. Just remember that. There's none of us who are, I can't say that. There are some of us in this life who are just absolutely outgoing and half crazy. But for the most part, most of us are a little timid. A little timid sometimes to step out there and be in the spotlight. But you know, when God calls you, it doesn't matter whether you're timid or not. If God calls you to do something, God's going to equip you for that. One thing I remember I learned a long time ago is God doesn't call the fit. God fits the called. When he called Moses, he had a stutterer on his hands. And Moses said, I can't talk, Lord. He said, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. God equipped him, amen, and he fitted him for that service. David, you know, when David was sent to go down in that valley to kill Goliath, I mean, man tried to equip him with armor he couldn't wear. It didn't fit. But that, listen, it didn't matter. God fit him. God, all he needed was five smooth stones. As a matter of fact, he only needed one. Amen. God fits the called. Amen. When they got to the Red Sea, they didn't have no life jackets, they had no boats. But God parted the waters and dried the land up. God fits the called. God makes a way where there is no way. God provided a table for them in the wilderness. He sent manna from on high. They said, well, what are we going to do about our clothes? They're going to wear out. God made clothes that would grow, shoes that grew with the feet. Amazing what God can do. Paul said, you know, I remember you, Timothy. I remember you in my prayers day and night. You know what? We need to remember we're not alone in this life. You know what? You're not alone in this life. And I know you say, well, I know I'm not alone. God's with me. Yeah, I know God's with you, and he's always with you, and God's never going to leave you. You've got his presence, you've got his power, and you've got his help. But I want you to remember something else, too. You've got other people praying for you, too. There are people, and I know this, and this gives me comfort. I know every day that I live, there are people who pray for me. And you have no idea the strength that gives me, knowing that people are praying for me. Amen? And there are people praying for you, whether you know it or not. I know some of us sometimes feel like nobody in the world knows I exist. But understand something. You got people who love you and pray for you, and that ought to strengthen you, and that ought to cause you in your hour of dismay and feeling like the whole world's coming down on you, and you just don't know how you're going to keep going. Listen, don't forget, there's some saints lifting you up to God. Amen? Paul wanted Timothy to know, I'm praying for you, son. Don't give up down there. Don't give up even though everybody's come against you, even though your health's come against you, even though it seems like everybody's turning away. Don't give up. I'm praying, son. I'm praying. Amen? And we need to remember to pray for others. We need a praying people. There's nothing better than praying because it keeps you at the throne of God. Amen? And we need to remember to pray for those who pray for us and spend our words wisely. By the way, the Bible tells us we're going to be called out on every idle word we speak. Don't forget that. God's going to judge every idle word. That ought to scare you to death. Amen. Not only that, we see that Paul said in verse 4 he was mindful of Timothy's tears. And folks, we need to remember that others are suffering. We need to remember other people suffering. You know, I can tell you something. It's an awesome thing, but when you're going through something, and I know you've heard this before, but I just want to remind you. Again, we're talking about remembrance, some things we need to remember. When you're going through a trial, when you're facing something, some difficulty, and you start feeling like you want to have a pity party, the best thing you can do is go find somebody else who's going through something and help them. You invest yourself as much as you can in somebody else who's broke down and having some kind of troubles, and suddenly you'll forget all about yours. It'll fix your problem. I want you to understand this. God never intended for us to handle all our problems. Did you know that? God never intended for you to fix all the problems of your life. God intends for you to go to him and lay it at his throne and get busy helping somebody else. And while you're busy helping somebody else, God will send somebody else to help you with your problem. That's how God functions. That's how God works. He uses others to be a blessing to us. And that's exactly what Paul's doing here with Timothy. He's reminding him, Timothy, don't give up, son. I know you're grieving. I know you'd rather me be there with you. I know you'd rather me not be down here in this dungeon. I know that you know that I'm awaiting execution, that they're going to take my head off not too long from now. And I know that tears your heart out to know that I'm not going to be with you anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to take our problems to the place of prayer. We need to lift others up in prayer. We need to not get so caught up in our own issues. Amen? That's where depression comes from, when you just start looking at you and you only. Amen? When it's all about you, it's the most selfish thing in the world to get caught up in depression. Because listen to me, God knows where you're at. God knows your problem. And God's able to send somebody to alleviate your problem. But you need to quit sitting around sucking your thumb and feeling sorry for yourself and get up and do something for God and He'll fix your problem. Amen? I ain't hear nothing on that. That's right. That ain't pleasant to hear, but it's true. Amen? Verse 5, here's another remembrance. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee. I know you're real, son. I know it ain't fake. I know it's real. Amen? Listen, and he said, and not only that, I remember your grandmother Lois. I remember her faith. Her faith was real. I remember your mother Eunice. Her faith was real. And I can tell that your faith is real too, son. That's what he's telling him. Listen, we ought to remember when we get down, when things start to close in on us, we ought to remember the lives and the faith of those that raised us. Amen? Listen, all I got to do is sit there and go back in my mind to a little old church in Buckner, Arkansas. Riding there with my papa, turning the heat on or turning the air on. He was always there. He was always on. He was always taking care of something for somebody. I remember the love of my grandparents. I remember the love of those who I grew up around, those who loved the Lord. I have remembrance of all that. Amen. It doesn't go away. There have been people in my life, not only just people that raised me, but people who I was raised up around, people who taught me over the years, people who've been a mentor to me over the years, who've discipled me over the years. I can think of down through the years people who from other places where I was just a church member who took me in and wanted to help me to grow. I remember men over here at Spring Lake Baptist, John Wright and John Brock and R.T. Edwards, some men of God who invested in me, who saw me, who I had been wandering for years from God, and God had got a hold of my life and wanted to do something with me and wanted to use me. And I expressed that to these men, and they took me in, and they wanted to help me, and they wanted to teach me how to walk with God. And I thank God for that. And when I think back to that, I think, you know what? They kept going. Why can't I? Amen? They kept going. Their faith was real. Praise God. Listen, the devil, all he wants to do is attack you and destroy your faith. Do you know that? All he wants to... How many times a day does he whisper in your ear, what you got ain't real? He whispers in mine. Don't think you're all by yourself. My faith's attacked every day I live, folks. He causes me to question my own salvation. I've been preaching the Word of God for years and years and years and years, and the devil still causes me to have to check it out. Amen. I have to run to scriptures and say, devil, I know you're a liar because God said that right there. I can't go on what the devil says. I got to go on what God says. Amen. And as I look back, I know that it's real. I know that it's real. I know that the people who raised me, I know their faith was real. And I know that I saw that it was real in them and before it was real in me. There's a bond there. There's something real and tangible there that nothing that changes in this world can destroy. Yeah. Amen? And I believe that's exactly what Paul's reminding Timothy of. This, what you've got is real. When you look around this world and you see things changing, understand that's false. It's phony. It's all a charade. And someday this whole charade's going to fall like a curtain. But when it all falls, listen, what we have in Christ will never, never fall. Amen?
Amen.
Then he said down in verse 6, he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. We talked about that last week. That listen, we're not talking about an it. We're talking about a person. We're talking about a he. We're talking about the Holy Ghost of God. God himself who dwells inside of us. And those of us that are born again, he lives in me. The moment that I came to Christ as a worthless sinner, the moment I came to Him and I admitted my sin and my guilt before God, the moment I confessed to Him that I needed saving, the moment that I did and I put my faith in Him, He washed me in His precious blood, and the Holy Ghost of God quickened me or brought to life or made alive My spirit, which was dead before, which is alive now, and it'll never die. Paul's reminding Timothy here of a charge that had been given to him to preach the gospel. He said, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Don't quit, son. Don't quit. Remember, I laid hands on you. I joined you. And what he did when he laid hands on him, he's saying, I'm yoking myself together with you in your ministry. I will pray for you faithfully. I'll support you. And I'm going to be there for you. That's what that is, when that laying of hands on. That's yoking yourself with another in the ministry. Amen? That's why God tells us to lay hands suddenly on no man. Amen? You better be sure it's real. You better be sure it's of God. But he said, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember. Hey, I want you to remember when you were down on your knees at an altar and I was there and there were others praying for you. I want you to remember that night or that day, whenever it was. I'll tell you something. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember? Hey, do you remember times when you've been in an old-fashioned altar on your knees, or maybe you were at home beside your bed, or maybe you're in your car going down the road, and you said, God, I know that I haven't been all I ought to be for you, Lord, and I want to renew my faithfulness to you, Lord. I want to rededicate myself, and I want to live for you. How many times has that happened in your life? Y'all remember that. Some promises you've made to God. Amen? Listen, God gave us one job. Y'all ever seen them pictures? Y'all, I know we all have them on Facebook. You know, you had one job. You know, seen the stop sign where they painted on the road and it's SOTP? You know, you had one job. That's all you had. And you couldn't even do that right. Listen, God gave us one job. That's to tell others that Christ died for sinners. God gave us one job. Are you going to stand before Him someday? And them say, what happened? I gave you one job. That's all. I mean, you know, God don't care how many Facebook friends you have. You think somebody's going to stand there and say, but God, I had 1,000 Facebook friends. I was a good person. God don't care. God doesn't get excited over that. He gets excited when you begin to share the message of Jesus Christ with somebody else. Oh boy, the Holy Spirit of God gets excited. And you know what? He begins to work. Because that's his job. Amen? It's not your job to save somebody. It's your job to tell them how to be saved. I can't save a single person. There's nothing I can do to save anybody. But I can give them the means to be saved. And the Holy Ghost of God takes the means and puts it to their heart. Not me. I can't do it. Listen, he died for sinners. Sinners need to hear that he'll wash them white as snow. He died for sinners. He's the sacrifice for sin. That's our job. How hard is that? It's not hard, but when the world starts crashing down around you, you start looking at everything else and forget that's your job. What'd he say? Turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Wonder why? That's where the distractions are. Amen? You drive down the interstate, you're trying to go somewhere, they put these billboards all along it. I wonder why. They want you to turn off to the right hand or the left. Amen? And waste your time and waste your money. Amen? And wind up broke when you get where you're going. Amen? That's what they want to do that for. Amen? And the devil has the same plan. If I can just get them to pull off over here, they'll forget where they're going. And they'll forget what they're doing. And I'll put pretty pictures up. Oh, I'll cause some diversions and get them to pull over, and they'll forget that they're only here with one job, and that's to warn others of the impending judgment, and that Christ is the answer. We look at verse 7. We remember that God hath not given us a spirit of fear. This spirit of fear that envelops this nation, it doesn't come from God. God never intended for us to be a fearful people. God intended for us to be a steadfast people, a grounded people, a rooted people. Guaranteed that we're unmovable because we're rooted in Christ and He's unmovable. He promised us power. He promised us love. He promised us a sound mind. A person with power and a person with love, and we're not talking about just any love, we're talking about unconditional love. We're talking about agape, which is God's love, which is God's unmerited favor. If that kind of love lives in us, and if you're saved, it's in there. You may not let it out very often, but it's in there. If that comes out of you in power, I tell you, you can't help but have a sound mind because God's in control. If you're doing the work of God, God's in control. It's not you. People say, I just don't think I could. I just don't know if I could do. I just don't know if I'd have the words to say. I don't know how I'd do it. I don't. I mean, they start panicking. You try to get them to witness. I can promise you this. When God takes over, all them butterflies fly in formation. They do. When God takes over, there's peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord's moving, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. In that hour when you're called to be a witness, God will give you the words to say. Ricky, you put words in your mouth, won't he? Yeah. Amen? Katrina was sharing me how Ricky, when he was witnessing to his mother, how she bragged on him. She said, wow, the things that's coming out of Ricky's mouth. That's God working. Amen? And every time I ever witness to anybody, listen, it ain't me, it's God working. And any time you've done it, it ain't you, it's God working. And that ought to give us peace, folks. That ought to calm us down. You want to get some peace in this old world of corruption, this old world of destruction? Start doing what you're here to do. And you'll find that you found your place. You found your peace. In verse 8, he said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And he's just simply saying, look here, Timothy, I'm down here in prison. I know I'm locked up, and I know they've got me in here because of my witness for Christ. But what's his instruction to him? Don't get fearful and quit just because that happened to me. Don't be ashamed. Don't turn your back on the gospel. Don't turn your back on me because I'm in prison. He said, no, join me. Join me. I remember hearing about somewhere, maybe a couple years ago, where there was a big meeting of preachers, and this lawyer, he's a big name lawyer, supposed to be for churches, but he's really a traitor. His name's David Gibbs, and he's been a famous Christian lawyer for a long time, and he'd gotten up and talked about how churches could do this and do that and maneuver and be careful so as not to get in trouble and not lose their tax status and not get arrested for or anything like that. And after he got down, Brother James Beller, who's now in heaven, who's a Baptist historian, he got up and he said, well, I'm here to tell you how you can get arrested. Amen? And that's the truth, amen. I remember years ago being at a meeting in Wolf City. I was there with my good friend Leonard Johnson. I just rode with him and wound up there in a missions meeting. I had to go to that missions meeting if I was going to go with him to get some chairs for our church. And in that meeting, there was a missionary family that had just come back from 24 years down in South America somewhere. And the couple stood up and said, please pray for the Miller family. They've been down in South America for 24 years, and they've just come back home, and they're a little bit cultured. Shocked, and they're having a hard time getting adjusted to life in America. Would y'all please pray for them that they'll get adjusted? And I wanted to stand up with everything in me and shout, pray to God we'll all get uncomfortable. That's what needs to happen. We need to get uncomfortable with the way things are, not get adjusted to it. What's the problem is, hey, look, it's just like what happens if you go outside at night. You know what? It's dark. Can't see. But you stay out there long enough, guess what happens? Your eyes get adjusted to the dark. And that's what's happened to us in America. We've gotten adjusted to the dark. That's why it doesn't bother us like it ought to. That's why people put little rainbow flags all over their pictures. And after a while, you just ignore it. You don't care. That's why people start. They talk about it like it's no big deal now that America has legalized sodomite marriage and no big deal. Let them do what they want to. Love wins. garbage. Listen, you might need to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It might be that you might need to just stand up for what God said. You don't have to be ugly and rude and mean. See, true love doesn't win. True love warns. True love tells the truth. Amen? Whether anybody likes it or not. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'd lose all my friends. Well, you wouldn't lose God. Amen. You wouldn't lose the good, for the right friends, the ones that love the Lord and His Word. You might lose some who didn't love Him and didn't love His Word, but that's going to happen anyway. You just prolong in misery if you think you can. Amen. Let's get down to verse 9, which is actually where we're starting at this morning. That was all introduction. No, we won't be long this morning, I promise. But the Bible, verse 9, he said, who hath saved us? And let me read verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There's six things I want to point out in that one verse. Number one, who has saved us. Praise God, I am saved. I am S-A-V-E-D, saved. The devil can't do a thing about it. Ain't nothing can change it. I'm saved. It's a finished act. It's done. Praise God. And you know what? Why is that important? Because Paul's telling Timothy, you need to remember some things. You need to remember that you are saved. It's not something happened a long time ago I don't think about anymore. It's a real thing I can take out and look at. My salvation's real. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, Almighty God, shed His blood for me. I didn't deserve it. I should have burned in hell. I should have burned forever. But He died for me. I don't know why. I don't understand it. I can't grasp why He loved me. I'm worthless. I'm a piece of junk. I'm nothing. I try my best and fail all the time. My best don't measure up. My best will never measure up. That's why I needed a Savior. Amen. He saved me, though. I need to remember that. I need to remember who I am and whose I am. But the second thing it says, He called us with a holy calling. Again, you have one job. But don't forget that. Remember that. God called you. He said, oh, He didn't call me. Oh, yes, He did. Again, God doesn't save bystanders. God doesn't save wallflowers. He doesn't. God saves people. And once they're saved, they're not what they were before. Well, I've always been timid. But God saves timid people to be bold. Amen. Look at some characters in the Bible who were timid and what happened to them once God got a hold of their life. God can take a timid person and make a bold person. God can use anybody. He doesn't have to have a great speaker. God doesn't have to have a brilliant mind. God doesn't have to have an able body. Realize that? God can call an absolute cripple who's deaf and dumb and blind and still use them. He could. Absolutely. I remember years and years ago, and I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. It's more because I like to tell things over and over. Years ago, when we first started Faith Baptist Church, before it was ever Faith Baptist Church, it was Shining Light Baptist Church. And a group from a church in Oklahoma came down and wanted to go knock doors with us. And I remember they opened a van door and they got a guy out and they put him in his wheelchair. He was probably 50 years old. And he could not speak. He could not hear. And I said, what's he going to do? They said, oh, he's had several people saved this year. Yeah, about 50 people saved this year. Uh-huh. What? How? Well, he's got this card right here. And we just set him on the sidewalk, and he gets people's attention. And he has them read the card and ask questions. And he points to the questions. You know what? God can use that. He wasn't able to audibly give them a testimony. He wasn't able to audibly witness, but the card that he had in his hand that he pointed to did the witnessing for him. He was used of God. God blessed that. You know why? Because here's a man that everybody says is worthless, and this man is being used of God to do what people who are capable will not do. God can use anything. I said last week, he can use a jackass. He used Balaam's ass. He used that donkey. Turn around and tell Balaam, don't go that way. God can use anybody. He called us with a holy calling. Think about that. That means it's his work. If it's his work, then he is going to give us what we need to do his work. Amen? Again, the third thing I see in this verse, it says it's not according to our works. We need to remember that. Timothy, remember, it's not you, son, it's God. And by the way, my works, like I said a while ago, my works are worthless. My works is only going to clog up the machinery. My works are as filthy rags, the Bible says. Anything I do, God's not going to be pleased with what I do. God's only going to be pleased with when I yield myself and say, Lord, you do what you do through me. I'm just a vessel. Listen, this plastic bottle is nothing. It doesn't mean nothing to me. It's the stuff that's inside that matters. Right. This is just a way of transporting it. And by the way, guess what, neighbor? That's all you are. You're just a transport vehicle for the most precious cargo that ever was. He said, but it's according to his own purpose and grace. You know what that does for you? Remember this. Hey, you don't have to figure it out. It's not a riddle. It's pretty simple. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for sinners. How hard is that to tell people? Christ died for sinners. Listen, you're never going to find your peace and the happiness you're looking for in the bottom of a bottle. No. You're never going to find it in some drug. You're never going to find it in some person. You're never going to find it in some sinful practice. You're never going to find peace and joy and happiness anywhere else other than the Lord. That's it. According to his own purpose and grace. That's what he called us and equipped us with. God says, I'm not expecting you to figure this out. I'm not expecting you to do it your way. I'm expecting you to do it my way. And not only that, I'm not going to expect you to do it in your strength. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the love in your bosom that you never had before. That's that. Power and love and sound mind. That's what he's talking about here, according to his own purpose and grace. That grace, that's God's riches at Christ's expense. He's going to put his own love in you. He's going to put his own power in you. And he is going to put a sound mind, the mind of Christ, in you. Amen. He said in verse 10, he said, it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Praise God for that. I'll never see death, and you never will either if you're a Christian. We'll never see death. Hey, death, where is thy sting? Amen. Grave, where is thy victory? If you're a Christian, you'll never die. You say, well, I've seen people die. Oh, you saw what you thought was death, but you saw their old body give up. You never saw their spirit die because their spirit don't die. You'll never die. Hallelujah. I don't have to fear it. He abolished death. I like that. He got rid of it. It ain't there no more. Amen. And he hath brought forth life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm living forevermore. Praise God, forevermore. And never depart from him. I'll always have him. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I stay here, Jesus is with me here. If I die, it's even better. I'm going to go see him face to face. And he said this stuff was given to us. This grace and his purpose was given. And we ain't got to figure it out. It's already lined out. Amen. It's already lined out. The instructions are all right here. All you have to do is read it. They're there. I promise you, they're there. It's there if you want to read it. A lot of people are just hard-headed and just want to try to figure it out without the instructions. But I can tell you right now, I've learned over the years, that just ain't the way it ought to work, Roger. I've tried to put too many things together without the instructions. That's just a hard-headed way of going about things. I mean, we're men. We like to try to do it the hard way first. We got to quit that. Amen? We've tried life long enough without God's instructions. It's time we get the instructions out and we read them and we quit having such a hard time. Amen? Amen. I thought you'd like that one. Amen. Let's just do it the right way. Paul said, you know what? I'm appointed a preacher of all this. God called me. God appointed me. I want you to remember that. God called me. He appointed me a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And because he appointed me that, and because he called me that, because he made me that, hey, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. I know that I'm in jail. I'm in prison because God called me to do this. I know that's the only reason I'm here, because there's no other reason why I'd be in this Roman jail cell other than the fact that I've gone door to door, house to house, synagogue to synagogue, and I have preached and I have taught and I have set pastors up and established churches, and that's why they hate me, because I won't bow down and worship Caesar. I'm going to serve God. He said, that's the reason I suffer these things. He said, now here, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. By the way, I have nothing to be ashamed of for being a Christian. You have nothing to be ashamed of for being a Christian. Amen. We ought not cow down. We ought not be bashful about it. People ought to know you're a Christian. It ought not be a secret. It ought not be a surprise. I always hate that. People say to me all the time, you still preaching? I hate that. You know, I mean, why would I quit? People expect you to quit. People expect you to quit serving God too, folks. They expect that eventually this will play out. You get tired of it. Eventually they'll quit talking about Jesus, and Bible thumpers, they'll quit it. No, it ain't going to happen. There is no stopping place. Because there's never going to be a day when Jesus is not as good to me as he is right now. There's never going to be a day this Bible is not true. There's never going to be a day that heaven isn't real. Amen? There's never going to be a day I stop yearning to go and be with my Lord and all my loved ones that have gone on before. That's just not going to change. This world is going to hell. I'm not going with it. I don't enjoy this world. It's lost its savor. I have no use for it. Amen? I'm homeward bound. He said, you know what? I'm not ashamed. And here's why I'm not ashamed. Yeah, I sang it earlier. He said, for I know whom I believe. I know Christ. And by the way, I know him because he has carried me. I have been down through some dark, dark, dark valleys. I've had enemies stacked up to the ceiling against me. And my God has held my hand and walked me through that valley. He's been there. He's prepared that table for me. My cup has run over. He has protected me with his rod and staff. Yes. The paths of righteousness go directly through the valley of the shadow of death. And you better know it. But in the middle of it all, you can have sunshine. Though everybody else sits in the dark, you can have sunshine as you walk through that valley. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. You can't change me. All the atheists, all the skeptics, all of the believers of false religion, all of them, they can say what they want. And they have, and they keep saying it. Doesn't change me a bit. Because I know. I know he's able. You can say, well, if you do this or if you do that. No, hang on a minute, feller. Look here. I know he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. What was that? My soul. I'm his. He bought me. You understand that? I didn't loan myself out to him. He bought me. Amen? Bought me. What does that make me? His. He owns me, doesn't he, Charlotte? He paid for me. I've said it 1,000 times, but I'll make it 1,001.
You are the most expensive item ever bought and paid for in the entire history of the universe, because it costs the precious blood of Jesus Christ to pay for your soul.
Amen.
That makes you a high price, high value to God. And God does not look at you as junk. God does not look at you as leftovers. No. God looks at you as His precious child. God's not going to leave you. I read something day before yesterday. Oh, it was so good. So the man took his son out into the woods and told him, said, "Son, we have a tradition in our family. If you're going to become a man, you're going to have to go through this." And so he told him he had to wear a blindfold and sit on this stump out in the middle of the woods all by himself all night long and not move. And he said, "You keep that blindfold on till you feel the warm rays of the sun on your face. And then when you do, you can come out of the woods." So that little boy put the blindfold on and sat on the stump. And he heard what sounded like a forest full of animals all around him. And he felt the danger, but he was terrified. But he sat there still on that stump. And he never moved. And then surely, after what seemed like an eternity, he felt the rays of the sun on his face. And he lifted that blindfold. And he saw his dad sitting on a stump right across from him. He'd been there all night. We feel alone sometimes. But I want you to know something. You're never going to be alone, because God's not going to leave you. He's always going to be there. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Listen to me. Until He comes for me. Amen? He's coming to receive what He has paid for. Amen? I am what He paid for. And He paid for me, and He expects me to give Him value out of what He paid for. So what does He want me to do? He wants me to bring more into the fold while I'm here. No matter what's going on. You say, "But you don't understand, it's hard to now. Nobody wants to hear it." Guess what? He didn't have a giant crowd, and He was walking around here either. At one point, He turned around to His 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" And by the way, let's not forget, and then that night, everybody left. Except for John. Everybody left. Peter denied Him. John Mark ran off into the night naked. I mean, they all left. Don't think just because you feel like nobody wants to listen that it ain't worth doing. If that was the case, why would he even go to Calvary? No, it's worth doing. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I mean, Jesus did not want to have his body torn to ribbons and hang naked before the world. And by the way, yes, he had no loincloth. He was naked. He didn't want to do that. That's not what he desired to do. But he saw past what he was going through to what he was going to get. For the joy that was set before him, he didn't see the cross. He saw his people being gathered unto him and sitting around the throne of God in heaven. You can't sit and look at this world and judge things by this world. No. Praise God, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen. And can't nobody destroy that. Can't nothing take that away. John 10:28-30, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." If something never perishes, it ain't going to go bad. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You can't get out of his hand. He's got you. Amen. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. All. A-L-L. I like those words he used. Never and all. Amen? That doesn't leave room for doubt. Amen. The devil can try to worm some doubt in there, but if you allow it, you're not paying attention to what God said. God said never, and He said all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, the devil ain't stronger than God, so that just covers everybody. I and my Father are one, Jesus said. So if you're in Jesus' hand, you're in the Father's hand. Amen? I like what Hebrews 7:25 says. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost. Uttermost. And that's completely. There's no other way to get around what that word means. Uttermost. That's absolutely, positively, completely. That come unto God by him. If you come to God for salvation through Christ Jesus, hey, listen, the Bible says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So no matter how long you live on this earth, no matter how many times Satan accuses you, believer, Jesus is right there at the throne of God to make intercession for you. You need to remember that. The devil ain't going to talk God out of you being his child. He can't. It's not possible anyway, folks. But God, I think Christ just wants us to see it just as clear as we can, that no matter what happens, I'm there. And I paid for you. Listen, he wouldn't go to that cross just throw you aside. He wouldn't go through all he went through just cast you aside. No, he loves you. He loves you. Verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Remember, you better hang on to this book right here, because they're going to try to take it from you. It's been hacked at, chipped away at, punched, kicked, whatever you can imagine. They hate this book. You know why they hate this book? Because this book knows them. It knows them. It scares them. Roger, it scares them because it knows every thought they ever had. It knows every deed they ever did. And it knows their beginning and it knows their end. And it scares the living daylights out of them. And they want it out of their courthouse. They want it out of their schoolhouse, by the way. Hey, two or three states done put it back in school. Praise God for that. Amen. I'm praying for Texas to come join suit with them. Amen. The Bible says, hang on to the sound words. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. See, sound words are to be remembered in this hour of change. I mean, I knew he was in trouble when they started talking that change we can believe in. I can't believe in no change. Amen. Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, people's feet are beginning to slide. And when things get slippery, listen, everything's slippery except the rock of our salvation. Amen. That sound words, you know what it means? It means Christians whose opinions are free from error. You know what? I don't want to sit around and listen to people who have hypotheticals to give me. I don't need any hypotheticals. I don't need any theories. I don't need anybody's opinions. I just need the Word of God. Well, maybe this means this. Hogwash! Maybe we can fit this. I don't need that. I just need what it says. Don't put a question mark where God put a period or an exclamation point. I ain't got time for extra biblical nonsense in this hour. I don't need any new methods. I just need to stick with the old stuff. Amen. Verse 14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Listen, he's saying you need to remember to hang on to what you got, amen? Stick close with what brung you, amen? Yeah. 1 Timothy 6:20, old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Again, all the science, all the biology, all the evolution talk, all the atheistic talk, all the Hebrew roots movement people, all of the crazy nutcase T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteens and Benny Hinn's of this world, all the send your seed money and you'll be rich, all that garbage. Throw that stuff in the trash and just stick with the Word of God. 15, verse 15 said, this thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Paul saying, Timothy, look here. I know a lot of people are going to turn away from you. A lot of people are going to quit serving. A lot of people are going to give up. But you need to remember.
You need to remember, you need to stick by the stuff. Don't make a difference what anybody else does. 1 Timothy 4:1-6, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." He's told us that. "Giving heed to seducing spirits." Oh, it sounds good. That's why they leave, because it sounds good, but it's not true. "And doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy." That's that crowd that hollers, "Judge not." See, the Bible says, "Judge not, judge not, judge not." They don't even understand what it means. It says, "Judge not, lest thou be judged. With the same measure you meet, you shall also be measured." So what you say, you're going to be judged by. He's saying, don't judge unless you want somebody to judge you with your own words. That's what it's saying. It's saying, be careful that you don't wind up sounding like a hypocrite. That's what that says. But it doesn't tell you not to judge. Oh, no. "Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God has created." I ain't got time to read all that. But listen, we know that in this world people are going nuts. We know people are trying every new thing. You've got every false religion in the world trying to throw this or that. And you've got, by the way, you've got all the false religions yoking up together. You got all here a while back. You had all the charismatic leaders fly to Rome to meet with the Pope. You got the Pope meeting with all the Islamic leaders now and the Hindu leaders. Listen, this one world religion is coming together. The Antichrist religion is coming together quickly around us. The truth of it is, it doesn't matter. It's got to happen. It's going to happen. Let it happen. But keep preaching in the middle of it. Don't look to the right hand or the left, because if you do, you'll start to sink. It's like Peter did. Just keep looking at Jesus. "The Lord give mercy," and lastly, "the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." What are you trying to say here, preacher? I'm saying we need to remember to support those who are working and doing the work of the Lord in this hour. I'm very thankful. And I use the word proud, but I don't mean it in a prideful way. I mean I'm very thankful and grateful to be a part of a missionary Baptist church. And we may not have it on the sign, but we are a missionary Baptist church. I'm thankful that we support missionaries. I'm thankful for them. They're some of my favorite people in the world. I love them. I get so excited. Every time I see Brother Miller's head stick around that corner, I get excited. Amen? I get excited every time I see Brother Weaver. I get excited every time I see any of our missionaries. I get excited every time Ken Barber's in town. I get excited. I enjoy spending time with these men of God. Because, you know what? It refreshes me. It teaches me that I can keep going. They face difficulties worse than we have here in America, and they keep going. So if they can keep going, why can't we keep going? Amen? It's a refreshing thing to sit and talk to them. And they know how bad it is. They see it, and they see it from a different viewpoint. They see really how bad it is. You know, if you live in another country and you hear the news on America, it's a whole lot different than it is here. They're telling the truth in other places where we get lied to every day. We're told, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. No, it ain't okay. World's dying, going to hell. It needs Jesus. It ain't okay. So let's keep our eyes on him. And let's remember some things that'll keep us standing in the midst of the time when everybody else is falling. And let's stand together. Let's stand together. Oh, I hope the Lord's moved in your life this morning. I hope he's dealing with you about some things. Maybe you just need to come rededicate yourself to him. I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe you've got some burdens you need to bring, lay at his altar. But I can tell you this, he can handle anything you can bring to him this morning. And he wants you to come. I can tell you right now, if somebody was to come up here and pray, everybody else in here would be glad to see somebody praying. Amen. We might even come pray with you. Let's meet with God today. Let's be real. Let's remember. We need to be faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is real, it's true, and it's powerful. Thank you, God, that you love us and you never turn your back on us. Father, I'm just so thankful to be your child. And Lord God, I pray that you'd shine your light in our hearts and, Lord, show us the things that hold us back from being all we ought to be for thee. Oh, God, I pray that if we just feel empty, Lord, that we've not done anything for you and have no power. Lord, I pray this morning that we'd come and put ourselves on your altar, Lord, and ask you why. What's holding us back, Father? And show us that we might get those things removed from our life. Lord, that we might be filled with your power.
and be used of you before it's too late. Oh God, I pray, Lord, you'd bless the invitation. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.